Last time on the Pastor Study, we began a series of lessons on the topic, the strategy of Satan and how to detect and defeat him. We began lesson number one in our series of studies entitled The Deceiver. And our outline for this lesson is as follows. Satan's target, your mind, Satan's weapon, lies, Satan's purpose, to make you ignorant of God's will, and your defense, the inspired, preserved, and errant words of God, is found in our King James Bible. And we're going to pick up where we left off in lesson number one in just a moment. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for your very words that we have today, and we hold in our hands and we read and study in this King James Bible. We pray for the Holy Spirit of God to be our guide and teacher this day. We pray for the lost soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ's shed blood and nothing else to save them and to pay for all their sins. We'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, placing their faith and trust in his shed blood alone to save them. Bless the saint of God. Bless your lesson. Bless your words as it goes out and as you promise that it won't return void. Father, have your will and your way in our hearts and minds in our lesson today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen. So last time in lesson number one, we began to look at Satan's weapon, his lies. So let's pick up there. Now Satan's lie, ye shall be as gods, motivates and controls much of our civilization today. You see, man is seeking to pull himself up by his own bootstraps. He is working to build a utopia on Earth and possibly take it to outer space through education, psychiatry, religion of one kind or another, most of which ignore Jesus Christ's sin and salvation, and better environment, men are defying God in deifying themselves. And what they don't know is they're playing right into the hands of Satan. Now, how did Eve respond to Satan's approach? Well, she responded by making three mistakes that led her into sin. The first one is she took away from God's words. You see, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, Eve omitted the word freely. Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, the words of God say this, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. See? But what did God say? Back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, what did he say? He said this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So we get the impression that Eve caught Satan's subtle suggestion, which is God is holding out on you. When you start to question or forget the grace of God and the goodness of God, you will find it much easier to disobey the will of God. Notice something else that Eve did. She added to God's word. Yes, she did. Notice. We read in Genesis 3:3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. We do not find the words, touch it, do we? In what God said originally there to them? They may have been there, but they're not in the record. God didn't say it. She added to God's word. Not only did Eve make God's words less gracious by omitting the word freely, but she also made the commandment more grievous by adding, amen, the words, neither shall ye touch it. You see, his commandments are not grievous, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. But Satan, however, wants us to believe they are grievous, and that he has something better to offer. Amen? Another thing that Eve did is she changed God's word. See? God did not say, lest ye die. No. Notice what he said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Amen? You see, the penalty for disobedience, as presented by the enemy, did not seem as harsh. Therefore, Eve could consider forsaking God's will and obeying Satan's will. But once you've treated God's words in this fashion, you are wide open for the devil's final trick. You see, he merely permitted Eve to consider the tree apart from God's words. Amen? In Genesis 3, verse 6, we read this, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also one to her husband with her, and he did eat. She had to make a choice. Amen? Yes. God's words are Satan's words. But what did she do? She rejected God's words, believed Satan, and sinned. Amen. And you and I have been suffering from the consequences of her decision as the whole human race. God accomplishes his will on earth through truth. Satan accomplishes his purpose through lies. Let me say that again. Mark it down. God accomplishes his will on earth through truth. Satan accomplishes his purposes through lies. When the child of God believes God's truth, then the Spirit of God can work in the power, for the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, according to John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 13. My friends, but when a person believes a lie, then Satan goes to work in that life. Because remember what it says about Satan. Amen? What does it say? When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see, faith in God leads to victory. Faith in Satan's lies leads to defeat. Let me say that again. Faith in God's truth leads to victory. Faith in Satan's lies leads to defeat. However, Satan never advertises, this is a lie. No, he's the serpent, the deceiver. And he always masquerades his lies as God's truth. Notice with me what the words of God say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Please turn there with me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, the words of God say, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." You see, Satan did not approach Eve in his true nature. No, he masqueraded by using the serpent. Satan is a counterfeiter. He is an imitator. In fact, there are counterfeit Christians. Looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, we read, "In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea," here it is, "in perils among false brethren." Amen and amen. That's what Paul experienced. Perils among false brethren are counterfeit Christians. People who claim to be and said they were Christians but were not. Amen. We see in Matthew chapter 13, as Jesus tells us the interpretation of the parable of the sower and the seed, we see in verse 38, the Lord says, "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." See? Counterfeit imitators that are being sowed by the devil amongst true believers. Amen. And then, of course, again in John 8, verse 44, we're told, "Ye are of your father the devil." See? The devil has his children. So yes, there are counterfeit Christians. Not only that, but there is a counterfeit gospel. A counterfeit gospel. Notice with me in the book of Galatians chapter 1, if you would. Galatians chapter 1, in verse number 8, the Word of God says, "But though we or another or an angel, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Not only that, but there are counterfeit ministers of the gospel. Yes, there are. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 with me. Again, in verses 14 and 15. "In no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So there are counterfeit ministers of the gospel. Not only that, there is a counterfeit righteousness. A counterfeit righteousness. We see there's a counterfeit righteousness. In Romans chapter 10, verse 3, the Word of God says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," see, he's talking about a group of people that were ignorant of God's righteousness, "in going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Not only that, there's even a counterfeit church of Satan. Counterfeit church of Satan. In the book of Revelation, with me. Revelation chapter 2, in verse number 9, the words of God say this: I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blaspheme of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So we see there's a counterfeit church of Satan. Not only that, this counterfeit church has counterfeit doctrines. Oh yes. In 1 Timothy with me, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter day, a latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. All of this will end, of course, in the appearance of a counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, who will accept for Satan the worship and service of the whole world. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, 8 through 10, verses 8 through 10, what the words of God tell us. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And then in Revelation chapter 13, Revelation 13 with me in verse number 8, the words of God say this: And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So then we see, my dear friends, Satan's target. Yes, Satan's target is your mind and my mind. And his weapon is lies. And then we ask the question, what is his purpose? His purpose, point number 3 in our lesson on the deceiver, is to make you and I ignorant of God's will. You see, Satan attacks God's words because God's words reveals God's will. Look with me, if you would, in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Notice in verse 105, the words of God say, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. The word of God is light, is a lamp. It guides us. It shows us. It dispels darkness. Notice with me also in Psalm 40, in verse number 8. Psalm number 40, verse number 8. The word of God says this: I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You see, my dear friend, apart from the words of God, we have no sure understanding of the will of God. The will of God is the expression of God's love for us. Psalm 33 with me, if you would, in verse 11. Psalm 33, verse 11. The words of God say this: The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Amen. You see, God's will comes from God's heart, my friend. It's not an impersonal thing. but a very personal matter with the Lord. You see, he has a personal understanding of each of his children, their natures, their names, their needs, and he tailors his plans accordingly. You see, God wants us to know his will. That's right. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 22. In Acts chapter 22, notice with me what the words of God say. In Acts 22, verse number 14, we read this. Acts 22, verse 14, and he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldst know," notice this, "know his will, and see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth." Not only does God want us to know his will, my friend, he also wants us to understand his will. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 17, if you would. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding," here it is, "but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You see, he wants this understanding of his will to fill us and to control us. Amen. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, if you would. In Colossians chapter 1, let's read verse 9 together. The words of God say this, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." The result of all of this is the believer, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 6, amen, doing the will of God from the heart. So God wants us to know his will. He wants us to understand his will. He wants the understanding of his will to fill us and control us, so the result will be, as a believer, that we will be doing the will of God from the heart. You see, my dear friend, God's will is not a duty. It's a delight. The Christian delights to discover the will of God and then obey from the heart. The will of God is his nourishment. Let's turn over to the Gospel of John chapter 4 for a moment. In chapter 4, amen, beginning in verse 31, let's begin in verse 31. "In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat." They were concerned that the Lord had not eaten. "But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Amen. The will of God is our nourishment, just as it was the Lord. To do the will of God was the nourishment for our Lord. You and I must pray. Amen. You and I must pray, as did Erasmus, that we, and as it says there in Colossians chapter 4, let's turn to Colossians chapter 4 together in verse 12. Word of God says this, amen, that in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Erasmus, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer, and here it is, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That should be our prayer. As Erasmus prayed, amen, that you and I may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You see, if Satan can make you ignorant of God's will, he will rob you of all the glorious blessings God has planned for your life. You will make bad decisions, get involved in sinful activities, and build the wrong kind of life. And sad to say, you will influence others to go wrong. Sad to say, in my ministry of the Word in many places, I've seen the tragic consequences of lives out of the will of God. Christians who are ignorant of God's will lose the enjoyment of God's peace and power. You see, they cannot grow into their full potential, nor can they accomplish what God has planned for them. Instead of traveling first class, they travel second or third class, complaining all the way. They live like paupers because they have cut themselves off from God's great wealth. They spend their lives, even worse, they waste their lives when they could be investing their lives. Notice with me, if you'll turn to the first epistle of John in chapter number 2. First epistle of John, chapter number 2, verse 17. First epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 17. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth, here it is, the will of God, abideth forever. See that? Yes, Satan. Satan's purpose to make the believer ignorant of God's will for his or her life. Amen? So, it's so important, my friend, to have a quiet time each day with the Lord. Not only prayer, but in meditation and reading and studying of His Word. Because that's how God will reveal His will for your life, is through prayer and through His Word. See? So Satan wants to make you ignorant of God's will by attacking God's Word. Amen? As he did back there in the Garden of Eden. Amen. But we see that on the one hand, the Lord is truth. Amen. He speaketh truth. On the other hand, the devil is lies. So we see as we conclude our study today, we still have to look at next time. We'll look at our defense, which is the Word of God, amen, and some things about that. And that will complete our lesson one on the deceiver, on our study on the strategy of Satan and how to detect and defeat him. So I hope you'll join me next time as we continue our series of lessons on the strategy of Satan and how to detect and defeat him. And until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.